Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's go back to 2011 with Squidge. Let's look at the World Cup again with Squidge.
Hello and welcome to the Squidge Rugby World Cup Rugby Retrospective Podcast, the only rugby podcast who has, moments before we start recording, received a tweet from the Russian Rugby Federation.
And have you checked that to see if they've been tweeting every rugby podcast host?
I don't know. I don't. There's one in particular that I think you'll know what I'm talking about, but I wouldn't mind if they disappeared. Wait. But the tweet just says Opachi, which I've Googled it, and just means essentially well, well, well. It's something you say when there's an unexpected occurrence, apparently, in Russian, which I think is terrifying. And I think this might be the last you ever hear of me. I think I am about to be disappeared. I think Putin is after me now, despite me being generally quite positive about the Russian team. He's going to send Taya Gajev after me.
I really hope that Ramil Gysin has typed that tweet. Yes. Knowing about me, yourself, and Sam Lana's conversation beforehand, previous episode. Yeah.
He's just fascinated and excited by it. That's scary. But joining me today is a man who has not been potentially assaulted and abducted by the Russian Rugby Union.
Hey, you don't know that, but
I said potentially.
Okay, fair enough. But regardless of that, whether or not I have been abducted by the Russian Rugby Union, my name remains Will Owen.
Does it? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not a sleeper agent?
If I'm abducted, yeah, I might have to change my name to, I don't know, Ramil Gysin.
That would get you out of it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd say, actually, I was playing 10 for you in the World Cup last year. Did you not notice? You're not paying attention.
To be fair, I know I can't kick it miles, but his feet in the air kicking technique probably doesn't differ too much from mine.
No. Because the great thing about Gysin, because this is a Ramil Gysin podcast,
is
that he looks completely clueless when he's kicking.
Yeah.
He doesn't kick like a human being at all. He kicks a bit like a dog, if a dog could kick a rugby ball.
He's like the complete opposite. You know, like when Juan Martin Hernandez kicks the ball, like you can tell that he's got a bit of like an elegant footballing kind of a background.
Absolutely.
That. Like he's grown up on that.
There's a
Gysin
beauty
looks
to
like
it.
He's never held or kicked a ball in his life. Like,
no,
but he can just kick it miles. Oh, man,
and he can pinpoint as well. It's like the thing when Sam was on the podcast, Sam Lana, about him just going corner to corner. He's wonderful. So, as I said, we're only about 2.5 minutes in. That's fine.
Yeah.
I imagine there's people probably tuning into this one going, oh, it's about the All Blacks. Finally, I can listen to them just talk about players I know.
Yeah.
I don't have to hear them talk in detail about some bloody Russian, some Romanian player that apparently is a legend, but I don't care. Oh, what? He played a few games for Perpignan. Who cares?
Legend.
Actually, we're going to talk a lot about Ramil Gysin. Or maybe we're not. The game today is New Zealand 83, Japan 7. And I think, as we said in passing before we start recording, that scoreline is a fair reflection of how the game went.
Yeah. The All Blacks were on top form in this game as well. Like, they in the Tonga game, they kind of struggled to get firing. I'm also going to talk about my main memory of this game, like, as it happened, was that it happened, like, just as I'd gone to school, so I actually missed the game, and I had to watch it back, and I avoided the score all day, and I was walking home from school with my friend Callum, who played rugby himself, who is a legend, who won't be listening, but you know Callum. But I was walking home with him, I'm not sure if you remember this story, but
I told him
I'd been avoiding the score, and he goes, oof, looks at his phone and sees it, and he goes, it's around 80. And I go, Callum, I've been avoiding the score, man, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I didn't tell you the score. I just told you it's around 80.
My favourite Callum moment, if we're doing this, is the thing about the goals, if you want to tell that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's a massive fan of Nottingham Forest Football Club. And there was a time when they'd lost to, I don't know who it was, but another championship team. They'd lost, I think the score was like 4-1. And then he, at one point, he referenced it in passing, like, oh yeah, we lost this game 2-1. It's like, no, 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 Callum, you lost 4-1. It's like, yeah, but two of the goals weren't very good, so I don't count them.
Which is the rules.
Yeah.
And by that logic, Jerome Kino's try in this game didn't count.
Yeah, I agreed. It was boring.
That one wasn't very good, just a drive over. Who cares? But to pick up on that, to start with that try, to start right in the middle.
Sure.
Another notable thing about this game, right, is at tight head for the All Blacks was a Mr. Owen Franks. Now, sure. Owen Franks goes on to break a world record later in his career, which is the most test matches without scoring a try, without scoring a single point. So he played north of 100 games. He played 108 games with the All Blacks, and he didn't score a point once, which is a world record, you know. The next closest is like Luke Charters, Paul James are tied on 70-odd.
And for the record, that is an enormous compliment because it shows that you're doing so much around the park to help everybody else that you can still be selected 100 times without scoring.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a props dream.
Yeah.
Like Owen Frank said towards the end of his career, he wanted to smash that record and make sure no one ever took it. Like, he didn't want to score because he knew his place. He knew what he was and what his reputation was. And there was this thing in the later days of his All Black career of going, oh, he might be on the end of this overlap. Oh, no. But this game, I think, is the closest he came to scoring, and he did it twice.
Yes,
he very
course.
Almost scores twice. Once he directly put the Jerome Kino try, he picks and goes, and he has stopped an inch short. And like, I thought he was going over. I thought he'd scored for anyone's money. But I think one of the Japanese second rows just gets under him and just managed to stop him scoring.
Yeah.
At the last second, just as the ball's going down, it's like less than an inch off the ground.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Mialamu's try in the second half. Most backs would draw and give that last pass to draw in the last Japanese defender. And the man outside Mialamu on the end of the overlap was Owen Franks. Instead, Mialamu goes himself. And Mialamu slides in and kind of, you know, in that kind of slightly arsy... Like, if a 13 did that, the winger wouldn't congratulate him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hadn't considered that, but that might be an early contender for Dick of the Day.
Yeah.
That hadn't and crossed my mind on. At all. Yeah.
That's the only time Owen Franks was in a try-scoring opportunity. Well, the only two times he's in a try-scoring opportunity ever were both in this game, which says a lot about the Japanese defence.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just briefly touch on... So, we've covered one All Blacks game before, right?
Yeah.
We've covered the opening game of the World Cup, and we kind of prefaced that by talking about the World Cup itself.
Yeah.
But there's... I quite like to talk about this particular All Black team. We've sort of touched on it, but... There's just something to sort of document exactly the players who are playing, and that is this.
Oh no, I know where this is going to be. Oh no, here
all
we go.
All black everything. Black cards, all black everything. All black everything. All black everything. Black cards, black cards.
I like to say I'm like the New Zealand hip hop Richie McCaw. Black cards,
all black. I'm going to temporarily pause that.
Yes.
As we have to talk about all black everything.
We have to talk about it in detail. I think it's more interesting than any match in this game.
I've pulled up the lyrics to this. This song is called All Black Everything by Scribe and P Money.
Yes.
Which is, of course. So, I mean, the verses include several references to particular All Black players. For example,
should we go line by line? Should we go lyric by lyric?
Sure.
I've got them up in front of me now. Okay. So it begins.
Okay, cool.
All black everything, black cards, black cars. Right.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want clarification. When they say black cards, they mean the suit of clubs and of spades? Do they mean actual, like, a black card at Nando's, which allows you free access? Do they just... They've got a Greg's black card, they're Stormzy. Do they just generically mean business card? They're like, you know, it's all bloody American Psycho up in here. I want clarification. Black cars, I don't know whether that's necessary, but that makes sense considering the kind of tone they're going for.
Sure.
Which is very much, being an all black is like being a rapper. That is very much the tone of this song. This is a real song, by the way.
I want to make that clear.
This was a real song put out for the World Cup in support of the All Blacks who hadn't won a World Cup in years. And they went, we're going to help them win the World Cup. What they need isn't a backup fly half in case Dan Carter gets injured.
Yeah.
It's a rap song.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know I'm all black everything. Married to the game. All black wedding ring.
Yeah, which I don't know if your wife signed off on that, but fair enough.
Yeah.
Wait, no, the game is his wife. Wait a minute. Can one person be married to rugby? Is Scribe / P Money married to rugby?
I guess so.
Wait a minute. Because I've been having an affair with rugby. I didn't know they were married to Scribe / P Money.
Is this why you called Rugby a dick in previous episodes?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's,
you found
it's
out
been,
about P Money.
A whole thing. Yeah, because I found out he's been seeing P Money on the side.
Yeah.
Always been repping for my All Black team ever since I was a little boy and had All Black dreams.
Yeah, boy.
There are several ways. Did he just... You know, like, when you die, it's just all black and you don't see anything.
Yeah.
Is that what he dreamt of? He just didn't dream of anything. He just dreamt of an empty void.
Just death is just what he's just described there. Now I'm rolling out the skills that you never seen. I am the Mills Moliaina making hits for my team.
That's not the thing Mills Moliaina was.
Yeah, I know.
For.
I was going to say, like, that surely makes the All Blacks questionable. If it's he's talking about the last line of defence, the fullback, is the person having to make the hits for his team. I mean, so, good on him if he's doing so, but.
And like, I used to have a joke when he was playing that he should change his name legally to Mills Moliaina up from fullback.
Yes.
Because it was all anyone said. Whenever he got the ball, it was just Mills Moliaina up from fullback. And he thought, is that hyphenated? Is there some link in there? And he doesn't say, I'm Mills Moliaina up from fullback making hit for my team, because that wouldn't scan. So he just uses his pre-marriage name before he got married to being
the game.
Fullback. Yeah, just as he's up married to the game. That's where the thing was going. Thank you. Mills Moliaina, but I like the way that's the first test of what we're getting. Although you don't hear it, they're not in the lyrics. But he does just say Richie McCaw during the preamble you heard there. He just says, like, Richie McCaw. which we've all made those sounds. It's what I do. Hey, so tell me, what are you going to do? This is my favourite bit. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when I'm at none of you? Which, again, we've all said. We've all had those days.
What are you going to do when I am a crash ball centre who has an incredible passing game and tactical kicking game? What are you going to do, eh?
What are you going to do when I even out my game over a long career?
So
what are you going to do when I improve year on year and become an all-round footballer?
I've got the lyrics up on Rap Genius, and the annotation for this says, you definitely don't want him, Ma, non-owing you. This guy is very well known for his powerful / explosive tackles.
He was more known for his carrying than tackles, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think of him as a distributor, but...
Yeah, I think of him as just the best rounder centre I ever saw.
Yeah, agreed. Then the next one is, you know my skills, Sonny Bill.
No, what I want to do is, like, I want to... Can we... Would this work if we started putting in players from other nations? So if I said, tell me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when I Andres Velasquez you? Does that work?
What are you going to do when I Ramil Gaisen you?
It's got to be a 12. It's got to be a 12. You've got to fit it in somehow.
Sorry. I don't know. Jonathan Spratt. You know my skills, Sonny Bill. Always hey. You know my skills, Sonny Bill. Always hey.
You know my skills, Sonny Bill. Always hey.
Yeah.
He says it 3 times.
Yeah. To be fair, Sonny Bill, pretty skillful. And to be fair, feels like the sort of player whose name you would just drop into a rap song.
Yeah, but like Stormzy mentioned Chris Robshaw.
Yes, I was going to mention this. And Lady Leisha mentioning David Campese in the exact same song.
And the GOC. The GOC mentioning David Campese.
Yes, of course. He's still alive like David Campese.
For a button means you've got to be pushing up daisies. So, but Sonny Bill is just... In the middle of the sentence, is you know my skills, always hey. But then he just drops Sonny Bill's name in the middle because Sonny Bill also has skills.
Well, you know my skills, Sonny Bill. It means they're addressing Sonny Bill, so this song is dedicated to Sonny Bill.
That's what I wonder. But also, he's already talking about. Well, I don't know. So he's married to the game, and he had all black dreams, so he's dead. But he's also just talking to Sonny Bill Williams.
You see, in the next line, Scribe makes another confession. He says, I'm Corey Jane, I run the track all day, hey?
So we missed that Corey Jane is dead and married to rugby.
Yeah.
And always talking to Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah. The Rap Genius annotation of this kind of rips into Corey Jane. It says, Corey Jane is an ancient member of the All Blacks, reputed for his strength and efficiency in front of the defence. He plays as a winger. But he's an ancient member.
Corey Jane was... Playing on one wing with Tutankhamun Moon on the other.
Oh, and then it goes, I don't even have to say that I killed it. Just let them know that I'm back. Zach Guilford. Yikes.
He doesn't even tie Zach Guilford in. He just says Zach Guilford as a complete non-sequitur afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I think more songs should do. I think you should just randomly throw the name of an alcoholic in afterwards. So it should be like, you know, like you could take, I don't know, name a song.
I don't know. Power by Kanye West.
Okay, that's too complicated. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder our Uncle Phil.
Should I leave that in?
Leave that in.
Okay,
leave that in.
Cool.
Leave
cool.
that in.
That's why you got to run harder and plan smarter. It's my turn to kick it, Dan Carter.
That sounds like, again, like he's addressing Dan Carter, like he's saying, it's my turn to kick it, Dan Carter. Stop yeah. taking all the shots in training. I've been waiting for ages.
That's Piruipu, starts on the sideline. Or I guess in this game, I say Toyava, who we'll come to. Second phase, centre stage, watch the S flow. S stands for scribe, according to Rap Genius.
Right, okay, fine.
All Blacks, you all know...
Scribe.
All Blacks, you all know who the best bro... All Black everything is the dress code. I'm going at them in my All Black test mode.
Which is fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That works
scans.
As a rap lyric. That's fine. Like,
yeah.
I'm going at them in my All Black test mode. That's entirely fine. That's the only lyric I don't have a problem with so far.
And when I hit it, there's only one way I know. I'm spitting every line hard. Jerome Kano.
Again, just a non sequitur, vaguely relating to a player.
Yeah.
Spitting every line hard. Is he... Has he... So he's married to the game. Has he got an erection? Which, I mean, he's mentioned Zach Guilford as well. I hope he hasn't gone out drinking with him, because he might not manage one. Good, okay. There's an erectile dysfunction joke.
It's my time, sir. Don't even try to slow me down. I run circles around them with a blindfold.
He's gone to such effort to try and just rhyme with All Black lyrics, and then he doesn't even rhyme at all there. There's no
Kano
interest
blindfold.
At all in it. Yeah.
I never stop. When I start, I am a carver. Ready to keep them waiting, like I say a Toyava. That is the best lyric in the history of hip-hop, to be honest.
I agree. I think, really, it was all building up to this moment.
Yeah.
When you look at any historic moment in hip-hop, it was all building up to
this. I reckon Dr. Dre and Nas are both looking on this and thinking, oh man, if only I thought of that. You know, Biggie's turning in his grave, wondering why I never wrote about Isaiah Toyava.
Absolutely. Like, you can... Don't you remember the crazy melon farmer called Isaiah Toyava from Straight Outta Compton?
It
would have been funny if I actually swore. But I think after last week when we had Blaine Scully on, and we were both on Absolute Best Behaviour, and I think it's the first episode when no one swore.
We
got through it without.
Yeah.
Just because... And it's like the thing in... I was thinking in the second Avengers movie where no one swears in front of Captain America. And it was exactly that. It was exactly
that.
Everyone avoiding the language around.
And nobody brings up hip-hop lyrics in front of him either.
Absolutely.
So the Genius annotation says, Toyava's playing is very clever as he waits for an opposing misstep and strikes, which keep the opposition waiting. Just as Scribe thinks he's keeping everyone waiting for his next album. Brackets. Which everyone isn't.
In just the way no one was waiting for Isaiah Toyava to make that step.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even bother, because my team is destined to win it. No, we not English, but we the best in it. Which really plays differently after 2019, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he wrote this now?
Yeah.
A, he's crowbarring like George Bridge in. Which sounds funny when I say it, but actually he got Isaiah Toyava into the name to a rap.
I know. Like, what would he write? What would he rhyme with? Patrick Tuipulotu.
It's a lotu. Potu, botu.
What's a semi-votu?
You've got to mix that up.
Yeah. No limit to the heart. It's all in passion. Surely... Okay, never mind.
No, that's fine.
No, no gimmicks, just hard work and practice.
Whatever.
Now
there's a lot of that.
To put the words into action and let them know who's the best on the Atlas. It's All Black everything.
Oh.
The annotation on that last line says, it's time for the match. Shit just got real.
That is very true.
With the picture of Tanner Umanga and Jerry Collins doing the hacker.
We weren't planning to do that, but I'm glad we did.
I was.
I could have prepped something there, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that's a perfect way to look into this game, as you say, because that was such a big factor.
Yeah.
And I don't think New Zealand would have won this game.
No,
if
agreed.
It wasn't for that song.
P Money and Scribe, and Corey Jane and whoever else.
Whatever, single-handedly inspired.
Whatever aliases Scribe wants to go by before dropping his album, which we're all still waiting for.
I know. I'm waiting for Isaiah Toyava to call me back because rugby's been cheating on me. So, speaking of rugby, they played some. So, we've talked quite a bit about the All Blacks there. There was no official rap anthem for Japan. And that was probably why they lost.
Yeah.
I think it's the sole reason.
Yeah.
So, to look at the team, It's an okay Japan team.
By the way, I've just checked and Scribe's album still hasn't come out.
He's really keeping us waiting, isn't he?
Yeah. His last album was 2007. Anyway, to carry on. It was...
Do you think he only made albums when the All Blacks lost World Cups, when they choked?
Maybe.
And the moment they won a couple. So he was due to release one last year, but they ended the English. So, as I was saying, this Japan team.
Yeah.
It was an okay Japan team. So, whereas, as we mentioned in the last game, against France, they had three players who went on to play in the 2019 team that made the finals. They had Shota Horie, they had Fumi Tanaka, and they had Michael Leitch. Leitch is the only one who stays in the team for this game.
Yeah.
They then have Hitoshi Ono in the second row, who goes on to play in that team that starts against South Africa and beats them. And otherwise, Hawassa's on the bench for that game.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I think that's the extent of starting Japan players who go on to be successful. Hatakiyama's on the bench. He comes on. He played in that 2015 game as well.
Yeah.
But it's mostly a really expensive
team. It's basically the
Japan
second team, isn't it, at this point? They know that the spanking's coming their way.
It's a team that... It's a team of players that Eddie Jones cast aside after his first two games.
Yeah, yeah.
When he said this thing about how the Japan players didn't look like they wanted to win, and if that was the case, then he'd get rid of them and find new players.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those players fit that criteria because you didn't get a sense they ever looked like they had any confidence of winning or in themselves. And there's two moments in the game in which they play a bit like the Japan we now know.
Yeah.
And they're really quick, and they're in the 22, and they're working through the phases, and they're really organised. But then... And we'll get into the individual cases later. But they blow it both times. And they kind of have... There's this attitude of the first time they work, they work really nicely and they work an overlap.
Yeah.
And it's Onizawa, who is their star winger. He's the guy that scored. I think he's still like fourth or fifth on the all-time top try-scorers. Yeah, he's second for Japan.
A good player.
Yeah. Second only to Daisuke Iwata, who's the all-time top try-scorer for Japan.
And worldwide.
And yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Mr. Worldwide.
And absolutely Mr. Spread It Wide. And he's got outside him, Takeshi Kikitani. And if Onizawa just draws his man, Kikitani scores in the corner.
Yeah.
And that puts Japan to 5-7.
Yeah.
With difficult conversion, but possible.
Yeah.
And that's a huge statement. And he said they just don't back themselves, and Onizawa goes himself.
Yeah.
And I do think there's an element of, we won't get this opportunity again. So I'm my quickest player, I'm my best finisher, and he's the guy that goes on to score that one try.
Tries to take a bit too much responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, if he just drawn his man and put... And Kikitani is the all-time top tries going forward.
Yeah.
He scored more tries than any other forward anyway. If you want to trust any forward to finish that, it's Toby Faletau. But second to that is him.
Yeah.
That was very indicative for me of that Japan team, of they just didn't believe in themselves. And actually, there was the raw talent and ability there.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't have this self-belief. And it took Eddie Jones coming in and just being an utter bastard to rip them out of this self-imposed prison they were trapped in.
Yeah, no, agreed. As I said, there's a few players who sort of transition into what becomes the 2015 team. I think Onizawa was one of those, to be fair, but you've got a lot of players who are canned straight after this World Cup. You know, Murray Williams, Sean Webb being a couple of them. And it's just, again, we said this the last time when we spoke about Japan against France, it's so strange to think that there are some players who played both in this game or this World Cup, more to the point, and also playing the 2019 tournament. It doesn't feel like the same team, because you look at this, and as we say, 83-7 is an entirely fair reflection of this game.
Yeah.
The All Blacks played well, Japan didn't play great.
Again, we said it on the last one, because it's so weird because of what Japan are now, because Japan are such a good team, and it was, as I said at the time in the World Cup, when they beat Ireland, it felt in the way Argentina beating Ireland is an upset.
Yeah.
Not in the way a tier two nation who lost 83-7 to the All Blacks a couple of years earlier, two World Cups earlier. And that was, frankly, people thought it was going to be worse than that. I remember listening to whoever's rugby podcast at the time, back when podcasts were quite a new novel thing. And they had a big discussion on, will Japan score a try against New Zealand?
Yeah.
And their thing was like, their best thing is attack, but it'll be useless. And people were saying, like, I think this could be 90 points, which it wasn't quite.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, universally, they were saying they'll be lucky to get maybe 6 points.
Yeah.
And only one out of the, like, panel of four. And I really vividly remember this discussion for some reason.
Yeah.
Standing out. Yeah. And Japan, you know, they score one interception try. They don't even work anything. It's Onizawa scores an interception try. But they do, as I say, have two passages in which they actually look like a really competent and really good team.
Yeah.
And it's even more frustrating because you know what they go on to be.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, 2 years later they beat Wales, 3 years later they beat Italy, and then 4 years later they beat South Africa. And they beat Samoa in a World Cup. And, you know, they can't beat Scotland, but then they do that a few years later. They do it in the next World Cup, they beat Scotland and Ireland. And they're now really close to ticking off. They now only need to beat the All Blacks and the Wallabies.
Yeah.
And they've beaten every, and England. And they've beaten every Tier 1 nation.
Yeah. And you couldn't have guessed it.
Yeah. You couldn't have. I think Japan will beat the All Blacks in the next 15 years.
Yeah.
Providing they keep on the same track. I know there's trouble with the JIFU at the minute and whatever. But the way they're going, I see that happening.
Yeah, and the level of development that's coming through in young players, like, they're only going to get better, aren't they?
Oh, 20,000 kids took up rugby as a result in Japan in a month. Or it might be more than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that Japan team looked very poor, did not play well at all, other than two passages, and just did not. It wasn't even that they defended badly; like they didn't defend. Like I always think of Iwasa as a good player, but like there's a try that Colin Slade. Someone scores. Conrad Smith goes right through and offloads it.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote down.
Oh, it's Andy Ellis. Andy Ellis.
Conrad Smith. What I've written down on my notes: Conrad Smith gets bored and makes a break. Yes. That's basically what happens. He basically just kind of like, he's out the way of the play, then just runs like a quite nice line inwards, and then just like, oh, I kind of want the ball now, and I might make a break and set up a try while I'm here.
Yeah. It's like, Hawassa was a really good, really nippy scrum off, and I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
But he did not like tackling.
No, he didn't.
And I never quite noticed to this degree. Because he shoots up at Conrad Smith and then just doesn't bother to make the tackle, and Smith goes right through, and then offloads to Andy Ellis, who scores.
Yeah. I actually think Hawassa played quite a good game, actually. I know that... Thing is, you can very clearly tell he's not a game manager or anything.
No.
But I really like the way that he was so willing to take people on. And I made a count of how many times he took quick taps in this game. Do you know how many it was?
Seven.
Six.
Six. Like, oh.
I might have missed one or two as well. I don't know. But he took a lot of quick taps and clearly had that instruction of just every time you get the ball, you know, playing against the All Blacks, we might as well take them on. And I love this confidence to go for it and sort of step people. And made a really nice break towards the end of the game. But sadly, I don't think he looks after the ball, which, you know, was kind of indicative of what happened in this game. Because his passing was a bit suspect at times, but I just love the tempo he played at.
Absolutely. And so the one Japan player I think actively played really well was Michael Leach.
Yeah, agreed.
I thought he had a phenomenal game. He was, were it not for the one guy who was standout man of the match that I think we'll get onto later, he was in contention for me.
Yeah, agreed.
He was phenomenal.
I can remember when I watched this, when I got home from school that one day, I can remember him really standing out to me. That was the first time I'd ever heard of him, probably. Obviously, I'd watched the other game, but that was the first time I sort of remembered, oh, Michael Leach. And I can just remember the whole game thinking, like, this guy's incredible. Like,
yeah,
big fan of him. And, like, his line-out work was fantastic. There's one point where he's barely lifted and he still manages to get in the air above Sam Whitelock.
We don't think of him as a line-out jumper these days, but he steals free line-outs. It's like Peter Omani style, like just jumping up and slapping it down.
Yeah.
Just really disruptive and annoying. He makes four turnovers. He was brilliant.
There's one passage of play where he makes two breaks.
Yes. Yeah. So he made, like, I think it was three or four clean breaks.
Really, yeah.
Which threw a World Cup winning All Black defence.
Yeah.
I know they're kind of switched off by that point because the game was put to bed by about 25 minutes.
But especially when he did have a lot of help with him as well. Like, to make those breaks pretty much by yourself. That he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the other
31 metres.
Another player who I think had a really good game was the tight prop Fujita for Japan, who he gave Woodcock an absolute hiding.
Yeah. And like, there's a consistent. So Woodcock turns it around a bit in the second half, but he starts scrummaging illegally.
Yeah.
And Nigel Owens, the referee, starts pointing that out, and he's being penalised constantly. And it's lesser him getting a hiding in the traditional sense in that he's going backwards.
Yeah.
Just in that Woodcock didn't technically know how to deal with it.
Yeah. He couldn't go forwards.
Yeah. And he was just, it was pure tactical decisions. I also want to pick up on Hatagiyama comes off the bench.
Yeah.
Throws a ridiculous out the back pass.
Oh, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Yeah. So he passes it one-handed behind his back on the fly.
Yeah.
Pretty much all in one motion.
Replacement prop.
Yeah. And Onozawa then scores under the posts. But, of course, the pass goes miles forward.
No. It's not called back for that. It's called back for the fact he knocks it on into an All Black as he's catching it.
Oh, really? Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
He knocks it on into an All Black. He then recovers it and then does this beautiful behind-the-back pass.
It was forward.
Which I'm gesturing now, but you can't see
it.
Yeah.
But it should have been allowed anyway.
Taira, isn't it? Is it 13? Draws and puts on Azara in. Uonazawa finishes it, then looks really annoyed that he didn't get his praise against the All Blacks.
I know.
It is wonderful. But then the camera cuts back to Hatakiyama, and he's pulling the most, silly me face. It's like he's got this, he was just caught stealing an orange from a tuck shop in school. He's got this sort of, almost cheeky grin on his face of, typical, isn't it? What am I like?
As they were pegging down for the scrum, I also saw Michael Leach basically giving Nigel Owens a look of, oh, come on. Got to give us that.
I also enjoyed the Japanese loose head prop, Kawamata, who looked uncannily like a sweaty nerd.
Huh?
He looked like the kind of kid who got beaten up a lot in school. And that made me like him, because he also looked a lot like a guy. I don't know how much I told you about my adventures in Akihabara while I was in Japan.
No, I don't think so.
It's a district of Tokyo, and it is, depending on how much you like maid cafes, either the most disturbing or most wonderful place in the world.
Okay.
Personally, I found it immensely disturbing to walk around.
Okay.
So it's just incredibly lit up, and it is the arcade capital of the world.
Right.
So it has more arcade machines than any other square block in the entire world. Well, exactly, yeah. So it's also got this game shop called Super Potato that's always talked about as I remember reading about it in Endgame when I was
Did you see Ty Furlong in there?
I did not, no. That should be his nickname though.
Yeah.
And it was weird to be in a shop that I'd read about when I was 12 and be oh, I'm actually here now, 12 years later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is it's nerdy shops and it's, I got hold of a copy of the Japanese version of Elite Beat Agents there. And so on, and shops that sell NES games and so on, Super Famicom games and so on.
By the way, Robbie, you're a massive nerd.
Apparently.
I just wanted to tell you that. You're a nerd.
Right, thank you. Yes. But yeah, so you would walk through, there are entire buildings, there are entire, eight or nine story, eight or nine tier buildings that are just arcade machines. You're just head to toe arcade machines, and they're really hot and sweaty. I once walked in and I saw two guys wearing business suits they just stopped off from work playing a game of Street Fighter, and a small crowd had gathered to watch because they're having a really good game of Street Fighter, a really intense game. And it's that is Japan in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Most terrifying thing about it is every single corner, everywhere you walk, is just covered in girls of dubious looking age. They all look about 16. I don't know how old they actually are. Dressed
What's
as French
about
maids.
The number 16?
Dylan Hartley wore it a few times.
Nice.
And so they're girls that look about 16, which is kind of disgusting, dressed as French maids. Right. And there are all of these maid cafes, they call them, where kind of ditzy girls who are disturbingly young will serve you stuff and kind of in skimpy French maid outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them looked really depressed. Half of them were really doing an over-the-top cutesy thing. And then there were some more, which doesn't fit in because it had two halves, that were just sort of, there was one I saw who was really cool and being really shoving it in people's faces, like an angry feminist maid cafe worker, which was great. And that was the only one I was you're all right, because she also looked 25, which is fine because she wasn't 14. Anyway, so once when I was in Akihabara in Japan, in Tokyo, during last year's World Cup, I saw a guy who was at an arcade machine where the prize was a big statue of a figurine statue, kind of whatever, of a girl in a bikini with really big breasts.
Okay.
And that was the prize. And there was a guy, and I just stopped to look at my phone, behind, and I didn't notice it, but there was this guy really sheepishly trying to win it, and he kept putting money in, trying to do those claw machines. Yeah, and that guy looked so much like the starting Japanese head prop, Kawamata. I saw him and I was it's the guy! It's the guy who was trying to win the tit statue. It was something in my brain just went, what's going on? He got caps. He got caps for Japan, that kid.
Oh, no.
I know. And he was kind of sweatily looking around at me and he's watching me. And I kind of had to walk away it's okay, it's okay. I won't judge you. I don't know what you do with that statue, though. Like, especially if you're like 15, 16, you're keeping it in your parents' house. Where do you display it? What do you do with it?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't want to know.
Mm, because I imagine you masturbate.
I don't know what that is.
Cool. Well, we can have this discussion afterwards.
Do you want to tell me?
No, he's a young boy called Mr. Bate. Okay. He'll grow up to be Mr. Bate.
Okay.
When he's old enough to be a Mister. Anyway, is my favourite Mister Man. Is Mister Bate.
Oh, Master Man.
Anyway. the Japan team.
Who is your favourite Mister Man, by the way?
Mr. Bump.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. There is a Mr. Rugby, isn't there?
There is a Mr. Rugby. I was thinking that. Yeah. I have that somewhere in my house.
Oh, no, I should have said my wife's name. It's Mr. Rugby. That's my wife. We're married.
Oh,
I know. She's going to give me the old ball and chain. She's going to give me so much grief for this.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I'm just getting a phone call from your wife.
Oh, really?
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Wait a minute.
It's Rugby. Wait a minute.
Is my wife seeing both you and Issei Toyaba?
No, but I'm
on the side.
I'm allowed to have your wife's number.
I was trying to start a bit. It's fine. It's already a bit. Yeah. So, the All Blacks. Should we talk about the All Blacks?
Sure. Hang on. Let me just hang up on your wife. Bye.
Oh, no. How dare you? How dare you hang up on my... How dare
that
you hang my
rugby.
Wife?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so the New Zealand national rugby team, commonly known as the All Blacks, represents New Zealand in men's international rugby, which is considered the country's national sport. The team won the 2011 and 2015 Rugby All Cups, as well as the inaugural tournament in 1987. New Zealand has a 77% winning record in Test match rugby, and is the only international men's side to have secured more wins than losses against every single opponent. Since their international debut in 1903, New Zealand has played Test matches against 19 nations, 12 of which have never won a game against the All Blacks.
Oh my god, shut up.
So, New Zealand, right. Yeah. People tell me to talk about rugby. Come on, it's not a tangent.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk about Thai cinema? All Blacks scored loads of tries. Some of them, Conrad Smith. He is really, really good at rugby.
Pretty good at rugby.
So he was just really consistently, at one point I wrote on my notes, Conrad, more like class, comma, rad.
Nice.
Because he was class and he was rad.
He was rad. Oh, man. That's a shame. That does sound like a lyric that would, you know, sneak its way into Scribe and P Money's testimony.
Yes, their sequel. Yeah. Their follow-up by being brought
Conrad,
off
Conrad, more like class, comma, rad.
So my favourite Conrad moment from this game, and I love Conrad Smith. He's got more skills than
your dad. That's the rhyming bit for the Conrad line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I also know roughly where Conrad Smith is. Conrad Smith. So Colin Slade puts for a little grubber kick, and Colin Slade is chasing it. And instead, he initially goes to try and pick it up on the fly. He notices he's not going to do that. So what he does is he sort of does a forward roll into it, regathers it, gets back up to his feet, and because of the way he's dived on the ball, no Japan player is able to get hold of him. Like he sort of beats a man by doing like a roly-poly onto the ball, regathers it, draws his man, puts someone in.
I love that, because what happens is he flops on the ball. And then two Japanese players manage to get back and like slightly reform a defensive line. And Conrad then gets up and re-breaks the line. And then the All Blacks then score a try with where there's three forward passes, which is disallowed in the end. Because Sonny Bill does like some insane...
Oh, Sonny Bill does the ridiculous...
Yeah.
He offloads to Sonny Bill, who does this insane, like from two of his fingertips.
Yeah.
He tries to flick the ball 30 metres.
Yeah, but sadly, three passes go forward in that.
Yeah.
In that. passage.
When he came off the bench in that second half, I realised how much I actually miss Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah.
Because he's a proper star, isn't he? Like, he's whatever the rugby equivalent of a movie star is, of someone you just love to watch, of someone who is, no matter if he's playing well or badly, no matter if he's doing, as he did in this early part of his career, he showed off quite a lot.
Yeah.
Even when he was doing that, he was so fun to watch.
That's the thing, because when you think of Sonny Bill Williams in 2019, I don't think of him for his offloading game. I think of him for his carrying, because his carrying was phenomenal by in the latter stages of his career. But at this point, obviously, it was just a well-known fact that he'll offload out of everything. And of course, what was notable about Sonny Bill in this game is that he played on the wing.
Yes.
And
first time.
Yep. There was a lot of talk about where you can't break up Nono and Smith. A lot of teams maybe would have tried to put Sonny Bill in there, I don't know, maybe for Smith or whatever, because he's a star player of some sort. But you can't break up that centre partnership because, as we were discussing before we came on air, that is the greatest centre partnership of all time.
Yes.
And I guess, the thing is, Richard Cahill was in very good form, but I guess there's a bit of a vacancy for the last 20 minutes playing on the wing for the All Blacks. And he kind of filled that because and he scored two tries. One of which, well, they were both off his wing, really. They were both under the post, weren't they?
Yeah, but the one under the post, the first try, was a winger's move. That was him coming into the blindside wing and hitting an angle.
Yeah. And then stepping another man just to kind of show off behind the try line. And then
it was a very rugby league try.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Then he scored a second try on the 80th minute, in which Nonu makes a little break around somebody, puts away, I guess it's Kahui on the left wing, who puts in a kick for Sonny Bill to finish under the posts. But yeah, no, it's interesting to see him playing on the wing. He effectively plays as a third centre, don't get me wrong, but it actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. However, not as well as the man I think we should move on to. Because
I texted you yesterday when I was watching this game. I sent you a text that said, I'm 20 minutes into this game, I already know who I'm going to give man of the match.
Yeah. I was 12 minutes in when I decided exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's not like a... Sometimes you see players really burst out the gates and have a fantastic performance there.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal throughout.
Yeah, I think...
And we haven't discussed this. We haven't discussed who mutual man of the match is.
No.
But it's so obvious.
Yeah. Because the thing is, it was basically when the first try happened, I kind of thought, Nonu's going to be man of the match here, isn't he?
Yeah.
And as it keeps going onwards... You know, I kept thinking it with every passing try. There is one try in the whole game where Nonu's not involved. And that's the Jerome Kenny.
Is that on as always?
Yeah, one try for the All Blacks, rather.
Yeah.
Where there's no Nonu involved. And that is the... Yeah. No, there's two, sorry. Andrew Hawes as well.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it does involve Nonu carrying the ball, I guess, beforehand.
Bear in mind,
he's not involved in the final movement.
The All Blacks scored 13 tries.
So 11,
that's 11
of them
tries
were in some
he was
way
involved
assisted
in.
By Marlon.
Right, and the interesting thing about those 11 as well is the only one where the line isn't broken, where the final pass isn't given, where the key involvement isn't Marlon, where he doesn't create it, is his own.
Yeah.
Where instead he runs a really good line supporting Sonny Bill, who does all the work.
You've got the skills, Sonny Bill.
Yeah, exactly. All day, hey. And instead, Nonu just runs a great line to support and finish it.
Yeah. But Japan did not know what they were going to do when Yamar Nonu them.
Yes, exactly.
So, should we start with the first try and just kind of quickly go through them chronologically, I suppose? Because the first try was finished by Conrad Smith, and Nonu just pops up in a normal, you know, number 12 receiver position, does an insanely well-timed pass for Toe Arva, who gets into space, who then is sort of half scragged by Michael Leach, who then offloads to Conrad Smith.
Yeah.
But it was at that point I would have thought, oh, he's so good.
I know.
And the way he straightens onto the ball.
There's a pass he throws that doesn't need to try or anything that reminded me of the point that I made in the first episode, that the quality of his passing wasn't quite up there with 2015 yet. He didn't quite have the kicking game, and he didn't quite... His passes were sometimes a bit floaty.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing on them was as good as anyone you'll ever see.
Yeah. I then have written down, Colin Slade misses the penalty, they're going to crumble. But yeah. Nonu makes a break and an offload. Oh, he does make a break and an offload before Kano's try. Because he does like an insane like overhead offload, where I actually thought he was just going to pop it back inside to Andy Ellis, but he does an overhead offload to Corey Jane, who kind of drops the ball, but then finds it still in play somehow, who then carries forward and then Kano scores. So he is involved in that, so it's just the Hoare try, where he doesn't make a break or assist or whatever.
It does sound like you're really angry about it. Just the Hoare's try.
He assists Kevin Mialamu's try, of course, as well, where Victor Vito managed to get a bit of an offload in, and Nonu again just straightens the line perfectly and gives a lovely flat pass for Mialamu, who then ignores the two props outside him. Dick. Conrad Smith sets up the Andy Ellis try. I can't remember if Nonu had a previous involvement in that. He must have done.
I think he did. I think I know. I seem to remember that. I seem to remember like it was on like a 1-2 punch. Like, here's one of the best centers you'll ever see. Here's another. Yeah. Good luck dealing with that, Japan.
And now what I thought was the most just sublime moment from Nonu all match was the Colin Slade try. So what happens is, basically, there's the All Blacks have like a bit of an overlap. There's very clearly Nonu has Toe Arva running a sort of dagger line inside him. Nonu then, it's a very obvious pass to give, but I think Nonu kind of realises it's not on, so I'll go wide here.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is the right thing to do. And then he sort of holds the ball, drifts slightly outwards, and then pops the ball back inside to Toe Arva. And it's just like, he's just had that split second in his head of looking like he's going to go wide. And that intent to then open up the hole for what I would have thought was just too telegraphed a move to give, you know, it's always very tempting to give the inside ball because it looks nice. But the way he manages to then reopen that gap for Toe Arva, who then feeds inside to Andy Ellis, who then unselfishly gives it to Colin Slade to finish. But Nonu's movement on that is just sublime.
He's absolutely phenomenal. And there was this thing consistently that I think every time I watch my Nonu back that he is in the top five rugby players I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
He's just, he did absolutely everything. Like he didn't have it in 2011, but by 2015, inside about 18 months of this game, he has a tactical kicking game as well.
Yeah.
And by that World Cup in 2015, he can kick goals.
Yeah.
He is the most complete back.
Somewhere, somebody's done a compilation on YouTube of Marnonu's like range of kicking and like the fact that he could do like a wiper's kick like perfectly and like spirals and stuff that like most fly halves can't do, which is insane.
To say he came through as a crash ball centre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, or as a winger. He came through as a winger and then converted to be a crash ball centre.
Yeah. You could play
him.
And
the way he just,
you could play him convincingly at 8, 10, or wing.
Yeah.
And he'd be fine.
Yeah. Fullback. I reckon he could play anywhere.
Yeah.
I reckon he's one of the few players who play literally any position.
He's always that one person.
He could play front row.
Yeah. When people ask me, well, not ask me, when people pop tweets saying, like, if you could put off 15 where it's all one player, I always say him. I used to say Nomani Nandolo, but it's not to the same extent as Nonu. His passing game and kicking game weren't as good as Nonu's. And as comprehensive.
Geffen Jenkins is the one I would go to.
Yeah, I know.
Is wonderful.
Yeah.
And no back could do forward things as well as Geffen could do back things.
Yeah.
So Geffen Jenkins is the other one. Geffen Jenkins, Mar Nonu. Let's have an entire team made out of those two.
Sure.
But yeah, no, Mar Nonu is just like completely unbelievable and almost unplayable.
Yeah.
Like every time he's touching the ball, if he isn't making a clean break and putting someone in, he's taking three or four Japanese players.
There's another one where he sets up a line out for the All Blacks, like 5 metres from the line, where he does this really nice grubber kick that just sits in behind. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, Corey Jane or somebody nearly gets onto it. And one of the Japanese players has to just boot it into touch. But it was just so brilliantly placed. I'm just going to wax lyrical about Marnon here.
It's been the amazing thing about watching him in MLR. Because he's so good that just, even though he's now a bit fat and he's kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
No, and he's a bit lazy and he's kind of phoning it in. His vision is so far above that he will just stand there and he will instantly put like someone in the corner. He'll throw like a 30-meter pass. He'll spot space that wasn't there. He'll put in like a touch finder from distance, or he'll do a cross kick, or he'll find an option. He'll find space where no one else can see it.
Yeah,
just because his rugby vision, his rugby brain is so far above.
Unspokenly as well, he'll just get the ball and then straight up just look up and put somebody in space. And like you throw, you know, 30-yard miss pass or whatever. It's unreal.
Do you know who reminds me of watching him play at that level? Right, Katie Daly McLean.
Sure. Yeah,
in the way she's one of the best I've ever seen at exploiting a bad defense.
Yeah,
just going, oh, actually, like, there's space here. I'm going to put this person through it. And if I have these two people run these lines, I can then put the third person through
it. And reading what the correct sort of way to execute on a certain circumstance is. So, like, reading this is going to be a blitz defence, this is going to be a rush defence, it's going to be a drift defence, you know? And taking the right option according to that. She's incredibly adaptable.
Yeah. She is she won't be, she'll be celebrated as such when people talk about the best women's players. I don't think she'll be, as she should be, talked about as just one of the best fly halves of either gender of the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Because she has, for upwards of a decade,
been around forever.
Dominant.
Yeah.
Been incredible. She's been the best 10 in the world for over 10 years. And she's been the best 10 of the year more than Dan Carter. Best 10 in the world, rather, more than Dan Carter.
The 10 position has changed. And she's one of those people who's gone with that. And almost pioneered it, dare I say. That, like, you don't, but you don't, like, look at her and think, like, in the same way you look at, who's a 10 with a massive boot?
Mornay Stain,
sure. Yeah, you don't look at her in the same way as someone like Mornay Stain, because it's sort of, it's not about that. It's about the way of exploiting, getting the best out of your centres, exploiting gaps in the line, dog legs, that sort of thing, that she just does so efficiently. Like somebody like George Ford does as well.
Yeah. She was the best 10 in the world when 10s were, as you say, in that Mornay Stain mould in about 2009, when they boosted the level off the ball.
Yeah.
And she's the best, she's arguably the best 10 in the world now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's, as you say, it's the George Ford model. It's a player who just kind of picks passes.
Yeah.
And a player who selects runners off.
Always
them,
done that. And that's always going to be effective.
Yeah.
No matter how much the game changes.
But she's adapted her game. She's so well-rounded. Welcome to the Katie Denny McLean podcast, sponsored by Romil Gyson.
Yeah, I'm on it. Yeah. He's a bit of a nerd.
And Scribe and P-Money.
Yeah.
We need the P-Money P-Dollar. If you want to sponsor us, I'm very open to that.
Sure. If P-Money is listening. I mean, the thing is, we've got Carly Rae Jepsen, I think, booked in for the next episode.
Yeah.
So,
can we get P-Money? Can we get Scribe and or P-Money on the podcast? If anyone knows Scribe or P-Money, please, you know, maybe if you just know a Scribe.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
You just know, like, William Shakespeare in his early career.
Do you think Scribe has a Scribe?
Or maybe if you just, like, I've got a coin over here, right? Okay, I'm going to get P-Money as a guest on the podcast. I've got a coin here. I've got a pen here. I'm going to draw a letter P on this 20p pence. Actually, it is. It's 20p money. Here you are. Here's P-Money. You've got any questions for P-Money? I've drawn in a letter P on a 20p.
Hey, P-Money.
Hey, bro.
I've got a question for you, man.
I'm actually holding it up the microphone.
Hey, oh, cool, dude. I'd like to answer your question.
Like,
this is what I sound like. This is my real voice.
His voice has gone highest. It's all black everything. But okay.
Yeah, bro. That's what I do.
P-Money,
I drop my voice down when I do raps.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Like, when because I work in Subway now and I do raps.
Oh, okay, that's quite cool. How'd you find that, though?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not ideal. Really, I was hoping the other type of rap career would continue to go better, but when I tried to pitch my new song, Wallaby Everything, it didn't work, because all
diversify.
My puns are about the colour wallaby, and there isn't a colour called wallaby,
okay.
And it really bothered me.
That's
it was rubbish. Really, I should have pitched for France, but I spent the last 4 years trying to atone to that.
That's okay, man, that's okay, but I hope you're doing well on the subway. I've got a question for you, man.
Yeah, oh, fire away, man.
What are you going to do when I ma-nonu you?
Whoa, bro, that's not appropriate for right here now, mate. That's not good, bro. I don't want you to... Can you not ma-nonu you? How would you ma-nonu someone over Zoom anyway?
Hypothetically, if one was
hypothetically,
to ma-nonu you, what would be your reaction? What would you do?
I'd be dead, bro. I'd be dead, like in my dreams when I was a kid.
Oh man, dream big, P Money. But
I would keep dreaming, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Keep having all black dreams.
P Money, thank you so much for guesting on this podcast. I've been a big fan of yours since I first heard All Black Everything, and I just think that you've got a real way with lyrics. And I think that you are basically the next Leonard Cohen. So.
Oh, cheers, brother. Do you want to hear some of my new album?
Sure, please do. Because Scribes kept me waiting, but
Absolutely,
you deliver, bro.
I always deliver.
Yeah, man.
I always deliver. I'm like DHL.
Hey, bro, let's hear some bars, man. Let's hear some bars.
Okay. Yo, Anthony Boric. Yo, Anthony Boric in a lorik.
What's a lorik, P-Money?
You don't know what a lorik is? Well, I want to explain to you. Why don't you type it into www.wikipedia.com?
Okay, I'll type in Yorick. It just says, do you mean York?
Oh, I did mean York.
Hey, P-Money. Are you still
there, man?
Hey,
bro.
Could I just do a quick exercise that... I'm just going to name an all-black player and just tell me sort of the bar that comes to mind, okay?
Okay.
Are we okay?
Brad Webber.
Brad Webber is a Webber.
Oh, that's a good bar, that was. That was a sick bit. Okay. We'll do two more.
This is not my element. Cool, but go on.
What do you mean it's not your element, Robbie Owen?
Sorry, I was just standing in some myrrh. Myrrh is an element. Yeah. Shit.
That's why it's not your element. It's not an element.
Exactly, it's not an element at all.
Anyway, P-Money, you still there, man?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, are you still holding it up to the camera? Sorry, P-Money. Atu Moly.
Oh, well, you say Atu, I say I do. You know what I do? I mononu you.
That's good, man. I thought you were going to do a diss where it rhymes with Bernard Foley, but...
Oh, no, I was very complimentary of Bernard Foley because I wrote the
rhyme. Of course you did. Okay, we'll do one more.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Robbie. But P-Money, this one's for you. Te toiro tu leurangi. Come on, P-Money.
I disagree with the All Black selectors. I think they should pick someone else.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast again, P-Money. It's great to interview you. I hope something works out for you, man.
Oh, it's already working out.
Is there anything you want to plug, by the way, before we go?
Yeah, I got a new album dropping. It's all about the Italian national
team. No one fucking cares,
team.
P-Money. See you later.
I hate you. I'm going to write a diss track. Will Owen? More like won't Owen.
Bye, P-Money.
Bye, bro.
See you. I think our podcast has peaked.
That's the worst thing we've ever done. I was so acutely aware the whole way of how many people won't be finding that funny at all. Because that was like a 10-minute extended bit where I held a 20 BP.
You held it up for the whole time.
And then up to the camera. At first up to the microphone, sorry. At first I just held it up to the microphone like it was actually speaking.
Oh, man.
Which it was.
Do we want to talk any more about the game, or is that us?
Right. What have I got written down?
Adam Thompson scored a try where Jimmy Cowan showed off and held the ball in one hand.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that happened. After Onozawa scores, Michael Leach kind of smiles like, yeah, we're in this, lads. Got that written down.
Oh, something else happens when Onozawa scores.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to some Japan fans in the crowd, and two of them is holding up two Japan flags that are made to look like boobs.
Oh, okay. Do you think it was the guy who looks like Kawamata?
I think it was. I think that's the only option.
It's his family.
They're all obsessed. That's why he needs that statue. It was for his father.
It was some of the nice singles in his area come down to watch his game.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, mature women in your area.
Yeah.
At one point, I just have Yes Hawasa written, which I assume is his break.
Yeah, probably.
There's another point as well, actually, where he runs this lovely line, and he really opens up a huge gap, and he just passes into where that gap is, and there's no Japan player running on the ball. So he just kind of throws it at the floor.
Yeah.
When actually there was a try on if someone had just gone, oh, look at that massive, like, 15 yards of space in the defensive line. Let's run into that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. They don't do that.
Yep. I think that's everything I have to cover on this game.
I also have send him off, send the dirty get off written down, but I don't know what I'm referring to.
Huh.
Okay. Fine. Okay. That's good. That's good. So, on that note, shall we move on? Finally, people have been wanting this to happen. People aren't desperately wanting this to happen.
People really want to know who they're going to give man of the match.
Boy, there's so much choice.
Yeah.
So... should we start with Dick of the Day, then move on to the Mononu Award for Best Mononu?
I mean, we could just get the Mononu thing out of the way.
Okay. So the your Mononu Award for Best Mononu goes to...
Probably Romeo Geisen.
Yeah?
No, or P-Money. No, just... It's Martin Manu. It's Man of the
we're
Match.
We're not mentioning P-Man.
Yeah, anymore. No.
Michael Leach, I thought, was very, very good. I thought Conrad Smith was very good, but I think Marnonu was the best Marnonu on the pitch. Yeah. Like Marnonu is the player that Marquette King thinks he'd be.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's quite considered the subtlety on his passing game, but I reckon he thinks he's walked through.
It was. I spoke to friend of the pod, Blaine Scully, about that the other day.
Best friend of the pod, I'd say.
Yes. Oh, the absolute closest.
Yeah.
And he just said, "I love his confidence," which I do love Blaine, and I know he's
top lad,
he's listening to quite a lot, so he may well be listening to this.
Hopefully
and I just want to say, hello.
Hello.
This is weirdly suck-up-y now.
Yeah.
All love listeners, love you as well.
Yeah.
Why am I still talking? Dick of the day.
The dick of the day I had written down. Those are the whole Neil Army thing. The dick of the day I've written down was Nigel Owens for disallowing try the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Because of, that Nakajima, not Nakajima, Hatakayama incident behind the back pass from a prop. And I just feel like, Nigel, you were grass. Like, let that go.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. So
I'm also, there's him, there's Mialamu, and the other guy I had in contention is Colin Slade, who comes in, and he's come in as like, I remember at the time people talking about him as a solid goal kicker. And on the, so the commentary on YouTube, right, you said to me, oh, it's Japanese commentary. It's not, it's Czech commentary.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what Czech rugby commentary sounds like.
Huh.
Slightly bored. They're commentating in Czech, because it was immediately obvious to me, like, that isn't Japanese, because having spent time in Japan. And it sounded Eastern European to me.
Right.
And it's Czech commentary.
Huh.
Czech Republic. Which, yeah, odd. So Williams is Zilliams, which is cool.
Mm.
When they talk about Colin Slade, they twice mention Johnny Wilkinson.
Wow.
So I imagine they're just saying he's a good goal kicker, or maybe he's going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
Like Wilkinson in the last game.
Yeah. Might mention Rodriguez.
Yeah. So Slade at one point misses two kicks in a row, then drops the ball under no pressure and just like throws it 5 meters forward.
Yeah.
Off nothing in his own 22. And that leads to one of Japan's two opportunities.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I'm going to go Kevin Mialamu for denying Owen Franks that first try.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
And also Japan's second row forward held him up.
Yeah.
So everyone involved in preventing Owen Franks scoring his first test try. So that brings us to an end.
Finally.
Thank God you're all screaming. We will be back, unfortunately, for you. The next game is Argentina against Romania, which is a really fun game. We'll be rejoined by a guest we've had on before. I can tell you it's not Blaine Scully.
Sad. I mean, that's going to open up a can of worms. But I am very grateful to have on the guest again that we have next episode, because they are great.
Yes, absolutely undeniable and all of that. So anyway, we'll join you, you'll do the thing. The other thing I have noted down, actually, quickly, Tupaielli, right?
Yeah.
Tupaielli comes off the bench and plays against Marnonu.
Oh, of course he does.
Like, it's like watching...
The bootleg Beatles support like the Beatles.
Exactly, yeah. It's like watching someone that's got like you know the version of toys you'd find in Poundland?
Sure.
That are like, it wouldn't be the Power Ranger, it'd be the all action fighter men, and they'd be different colors, and they look just like the Power Ranger.
Yeah,
it was like watching one of those. And like Tupaielli, if you don't remember, was the fat lad who came off the bench in Japan and couldn't pass, from the last game, but he was big and kind of in the Jamie Roberts Marnonu mold for someone that doesn't know what rugby is and doesn't know centre should be able to pass,
more Mattia Bastro.
Yeah, so he comes on and is just rubbish, and he throws one pass, but it takes him like 5 seconds to wind it up at one point. So he comes on, and it's like, the other thing it reminded me of is, you know when we'd play Super Smash Brothers as Nippers?
Yeah.
Right. And we had two controllers for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And one was an official Nintendo one that came with the thing.
Yeah.
And the other one was a third-party one that worked fine at first and had a turbo button, which is always pretty cool. But by the end, it was just completely knackered and battered and wouldn't work.
I got my mind out of that.
Yeah. Basically, Marnonu was the functional GameCube controller. And Tupaielli was that broken, hideous thing where you could only press one of two buttons.
Yeah.
So you could basically do a simple attack and nothing else.
Yeah.
That was Tupaielli compared to Marnonu, who had the full range of movement, could do everything, could duck, dodge, all of it. Two Paelli, no. No option. Just a broken GameCube controller. That's who he is forever.
Yeah.
That's really harsh on him. I hope he isn't listening. I hope... No, if he was listening, he gave up at the P-scribing money bit.
P-scribing money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I gave up as well. Yeah. I gave up long
ago. I don't think anybody's still listening.
You know what? This can only do damage to me. Yeah, putting this out.
It's fine with me. I don't have an internet presence.
I have absolutely nothing to gain by this going into the world.
Yeah. I'm fine.
No one is better off for hearing, like, for... I am in no way better off for people hearing
this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is... I have nothing to gain from this.
Yeah, whereas, I mean, I have no internet presence. I'm fine. Nobody listens for me. No one cares.
Yeah.
I can spout this shit. It's fine.
Go on. Spout something super controversial.
Okay. I need to think first.
No, you don't.
Okay, okay. Do you want to know a really, really hot take? Yeah. You know that that U2 album that was put onto everybody's phones? Like...
Oh, no.
2014.
No, don't go there. Yeah. Don't go there.
Yeah. That is the third best U2 album.
Whoa.
Yeah. Everyone only hates it because it was put on everyone's phones, which was a bad move. But it was a really good album, in my opinion.
You also say third best U2 album, like that's a good thing.
Yeah. I like U2.
That's a hot take. Okay, I don't like you two. As in, I don't like you as well.
Wait.
That was a joke.
Was that me and P-Money when you said you two?
We're recording this on like the hottest day of the year so far, so yeah. I'm blaming that. I'm blaming the fact that I got heat stroke. I was outside most of the day.
That's what I blame all my hot takes on.
Like, I sat in a garden. I walked to Sainsbury's, carried shopping back. It's one of those days in which it's disproportionately hot.
Should we end this episode? So
let's end this episode, okay. Man. That's what I'm trying
it's
to get
goodbye
to.
Goodbye from me.
Like, we've spent an hour and 6 minutes so far of me just going, can we end this episode now? Can we get done with this?
Yeah.
So the All Blacks beat Japan in a thrilling rugby encounter in the 2011 Rugby World Cup. Join us next time on ITV. I'm Steve Ryder, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you haven't, direct all comments to me, Steve Ryder. I take full responsibility.
I'm about to do some coke and get some hookers. Tweet Izzy for that.
Lawrence Delaney was holding up those boobs in the crowd.
Let's finish.
They're like his bat signal.
Let's stop before we go any further. Goodbye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.